This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ثم ما بعد. So I'm not going to ask you to kind of raise your hands right now, say, but how many of us here put so much effort to wake up to do قيام الليل and تهجد? Don't raise your hand. Okay? If you do تهجد, that's a question, right? Many people, they ask, how much should I do تهجد in order for me to count among those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called al-qanitin, al-qa'imin, those who always do qiyamul layl and tahajjud. How much should I do to get into that category? And then the other question is, how much is considered too much? Like a sister, she asked, she goes, my husband keeps complaining, like, you do too much qiyamul layl and tahajjud, mashallah. You know, so I said, why don't you wake up and pray with her, ya akhi? You have to go to work, right? So they all have their excuses. So how much is too much when it comes to doing tahajjud and qiyamul layl? Let's hear from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the book Al-Iqtisadu fi at-Ta'a from Riyad al-Salihin, a moderation in worship. Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu wa ardah qal, dakhala an-nabiyyu sallallahu alaihi wasallam al-masjida fa idha hablun mamdudun bayna as-sariyatayn. He said one day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came into the masjid And then he saw there was, he noticed there was a rope stretching between two pillars of the masjid. Like imagine this post and there's another one next to it and there's a rope that was stretching in between. And then the Prophet ﷺ like was wondering, قَالَ مَا هَذَا؟ مَا هَذَا الْحَبْلِ؟ What is this rope? قَالُوا هَذَا حَبْلُ لِزَيْنَبْ فَإِذَا فَتَرَتْ تَعَلَّقَتْ بِهِ. So he was told, this is Zainab's rope, his wife, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when during her qiyam and tahajjud, she begins to feel tired, she will grab on it for support. Like she would be praying close to this rope. And as she prays tahajjud and qiyam al-layl, she stands for long hours. When she feels weak, she would hold on to the rope so she can continue standing while she's finishing her recitation. What do you guys think of this act? Isn't that an amazing act of devotion? Or is it excessive? Who will judge? The Prophet ﷺ here. So the Prophet, when he heard that, a lot of us probably today, if you tell them that, they would say, MashaAllah. This is amazing. I wish I can be like that. No, don't wish. Because even the Prophet ﷺ, when he heard that, he said, قَالَ لَا حُلُّ. No. Take it off. Take that robe off. Like this is not right. فَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهِ سَلَّمْ لِيُسْلِ أَحَدُكُمْ نَشَاطَهُ فَإِذَا فَتَرَ فَلْيَرْقُدْ. He said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, untie this rope. You should offer your salah so long as you can, as you feel active. Like you feel, alhamdulillah, have the energy for it. And then when you feel tired, you should go to sleep. Get some rest. Remember the hadith we discussed before? The three men who came to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one of them he asked about the ibadah, and then when they told how much he worshipped, they thought, you know, he's forgiven, he doesn't have to do much. One of them vowed to pray every single night. Similarly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he answered that question or that claim by saying, "Wa ana usalli wa arqud." I pray and I take some rest. So the question we get from this hadith right now: how much is too much? The Prophet answered this: pray as long as you can, as long as you can while standing. If you get tired, get some rest. So, should you feel guilty that if you pray tahajjud and you feel now tired, should I just, you know, make it shorter or not? No. The point is not to torture yourself. Remember, in our deen, it's not about, you know, putting yourself into hardship to gain the reward. No. It's doing the ibadah in the easiest way possible. But if you had to go through hardship in the process of doing it, that you need to show patience, like fasting, for example. Some people, when they fast, what do? Deliberately, they don't eat suhoor. Why? Because they want to feel hungry. No, yeah, Ramadan and fasting has nothing to do with you getting hungry. It has to do with you being spiritual at the moment. So putting yourself to torture is not okay. You can't do that. Like the man Abu Israel. The Prophet ﷺ saw this man, and it's going to come with us later, inshallah, the hadith. The man was standing in the sun, and remained quiet. So he asked, what's wrong with him? قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. This man, he vowed to fast, and he vowed to remain standing all day, in the sun, and not talking to anybody. Four things. And the Prophet like, is that serious? He said, no. Order him to sit down in the shade. Sit down in the shade. Let him talk, and he can continue fasting. Like, it's not needed. Allah doesn't need you to torture yourself to get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly with Qiyamul Layl. When it comes to Qiyamul Layl, how much is too much? If you put yourself to excessive hardship, it becomes painful, then that's too much. But praying Qiyamul Layl is a certain level of hardship. Like waking up from sweet sleeping, right, and sweet dreams. Is that easy or difficult, Jama'ah? Difficult. Is it impossible? No, come on, man. That's not impossible. No. Is it difficult? Of course it's difficult. But it's not impossible. So therefore, you're going to have to put extra effort to wake up so you can make your ibadah. Is that clear? So even though there is a level of degree of hardship, but it's bearable. Don't put yourself to hardship just for the sake of getting reward. No. If you can offer the ibadah in the easiest way, do it. And then inshallah ta'ala, if there's any hardship, just endure that for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. One last thing I want to mention, that you might hear stories from some people, mashallah, a lot of brothers and sisters with good hearts and good intentions. They read stories in books written by ulama, and so they read the alim's name and they say, mashallah, credible source, right? And they read all these stories, the stories that don't have any chain of narrators, anything like that, about ulama and salihin. Stories that would make you just like, wow, this is unbelievable. And a lot of people, they believe this story. Like, he was really, and he's so excited, like he wants to show me the meaning of devotion for this alim. And this is one of the great ulama. He said, you know, one day this alim was seen in Mecca doing tahajjud the entire night. The entire night he was doing tahajjud the whole night. However, he prayed 2 rak'ah, in which he finished the entire Quran. So half of the Quran in the first rak'ah, and the other half in the second rak'ah. So far it's okay. But now here's the bizarre story that comes in. He goes, in the first rak'ah, he was standing on his right foot. And the second rak'ah, he was standing on his left foot. And he was mentioning the story with a lot of passion, yani, about one of the great ulama. And I'm just like, oh. I said, okay, so what do you think? What do you tell me exactly? He goes, you see, I'm telling you, he's mashallah, devoted alim and imam. These are the ulama. I said, you're telling me that this alim, this imam, is mubtada. This is what you're telling me right now. He's an innovator. He goes, how come? He says, who is better? Which worship is better? The Prophet ﷺ's worship or this alim's worship? So of course the Prophet ﷺ's worship. Okay, has the Prophet ﷺ ever done that? He goes, no, but you know, I said, don't say but. Has the Prophet ﷺ ever done that? He goes, no. He says, don't tell me someone can outdo the Prophet ﷺ in acts of worship. That's blasphemy. You not accept, we don't accept that. So when someone brings you stories like these, make sure to verify the source before, you know, kind of like start spreading it and sharing it on your WhatsApp groups and your emails and all that stuff and so on. Make sure it's credible and it's something legit. Wallahu a'lam. Any questions, Jamaa? Before the questions, just another announcement actually. Don't forget, Sunday, inshallah ta'ala. Sunday, we are going to be praying Salat al-Fajr at the North Lake Park at 6:15, inshallah ta'ala. We have a potluck breakfast. So bring your breakfast with you, inshallah ta'ala, to the park. We have a lot of fun, inshallah, a lot of games. You can actually, we need actually people to sign up for the breakfast. So if you guys don't mind, as you leave, inshallah ta'ala, sign up for the Ansar Club and also for the breakfast, inshallah ta'ala. Your question, fadal. They complain there's not enough time for Qiyamul Layl now. Our situation, the whole concept of hardship is relative, right? Because back in the days, people didn't have electricity. So when they lived the normal hours of the day. By Maghrib time, they're already getting ready to sleep. So after Isha, they go to sleep right away. They spend the whole night sleeping, and then wake up sometimes in the middle. That's when they do their ibadah, and they wake up for Fajr refreshed. In our situation, our day begins after Isha. Because everything before that was done just for everybody. My time starts right now. So you watch movies, kill some time on vines, watch all that stuff, nonsense and so on. And then eventually, you end up, you know, after midnight and say, oh, subhanAllah, there's not enough time for Fajr. This is the problem. And then we say, I can't wake up for Qiyamul Layl. Well, the time that we're supposed to be doing Qiyamul Layl, you wasted your time with something else. So make sure you go organize your night in the proper way, inshallah, tabarakah wa ta'ala. Allah knows. Yes. Now. Now. No. Yeah, well, I mean, for older people who are now used to a lot of ibadat, that might not be part of the sunnah. But some of it, let's say, for example, reading the Quran. They read one surah in particular every time before Asr or something like that and so on. I mean, in general, generally speaking, reading the Quran, that's like, you know, it's a virtue. It's the best virtue, the first dhikr that you do, reciting the Quran. So if it's a matter of Quran, that's fine. But if you ask her, just ask her, why don't you read another surah with it? Then you'll just let her know that you don't have to. You don't have to convince her. You did your part. That's it. Wallahu a'lam. Udruha, that she heard someone, alim, said this, so she followed that. Wallahu a'lam. Yes. So if you wake up 30 minutes before Fajr and you do 2 rak'ah, would that be considered tahajjud? The answer is yes. Of course, absolutely. If you couldn't do tahajjud before actually fajr time, then make sure to do it before you go to sleep. That also counts as tahajjud. You might say, but it's too early. To you, this time, back in the day, they didn't have electricity. Even after Isha, it was difficult to stay awake, aslan. So the challenge to wake up before fajr probably was easier for them. For us, it's the opposite now. For them, their biggest challenge was staying after Isha, staying awake after Isha. Because waking up for fajr was much easier. For us, it's completely the opposite. It's staying and going to bed early that is a problem. And that's why we're having a hard time waking up for Salatul Fajr. Wallahu a'lam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Don't forget to sign up, inshallah ta'ala, for the $100 Ansar Club. And please make sure to also sign up for